Did you ever get up in the morning and start off your day with a, this is the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then, as the day went along, let us rejoice and be glad in it becomes, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. You ever had a day like that? I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. You know, where do your possessions lie? It's a good question, isn't it? Real possessions. Possessions that count. Possessions that matter. Where do they lie? Do you know where they are? Although I seldom give my sermons a title, quite possibly The Other Side of Jordan would be the title for this morning's message. Might be a good title for it. The Other Side of Jordan. Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Numbers. Book of Numbers. Turn, if you will, to chapter number 32, beginning with verse 1. Numbers 32, beginning with verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was the place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Adaroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eliah and Sheban and Nebo and beyond, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Don't bring us over the Jordan. What we have here is sufficient for our needs, amen? Isn't that what they said? That's what they said. Bring us not over Jordan. We have everything we need right here. If only Reuben and Gad and those with them had not been given permission to stay on the wrong side of Jordan, but they did. They chose to stay there. Turn now to hymn 490 in your Baptist hymnal. Number 490. Most of you know where I'm going already, but that's okay. I just want to read the first line of the first verse for us to think about. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. The banks of the Jordan, beloved, this side of God's promised land will always, I repeat, will always be stormy. Believe that? This side of Jordan, this side of the promised land, you'll be with me forever, always. That place, always stormy on this side. Amen? You say, well, no, my life hasn't been stormy. Did you read the paper this morning? Listen to the news last night? You know anything about human history? It's stormy down here, folks. Amen. Our wishful thinking cannot change the fact if we choose to stay on the wrong side of Jordan. That's an interesting thing to think about. You see, it's the promised land where the true believer's possessions are, and not on the stormy banks on this side. Amen. If you're a Christian, your true possessions are in the promised land. And if you're not a Christian, your true possessions can be there if you choose correctly. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, that's God's business. Hold on, hold on. Where do I get done? Notice these three words in the very first verse of the text in Numbers. When they saw. Do you ever think about that? When they saw. Where is this guy going? I'll tell you where I'm going. Come with me now to the garden where the sin entered in, where sin entered into the human race, the race we belong to. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we begin our reading there in verse 1. Third chapter, the book of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now listen. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. When she saw the fruit. They saw, they ate, and Satan conquered. Amen.
Amen.
It was when King David saw how beautiful Bathsheba was on that rooftop that set the motive for murder of Uriah in his mind. Know the story? Go look it up. How much of the Bible do we really pay attention to? How often the eye is the weakest part of our body? One of our Creator's basic commandments covers this sin. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not desire what others have. Just look around. She has a nicer car. He has a better job. They make more money than we do. Goes on and on, doesn't it? That's the basis of the concept for requiring things in this world, amen? How much money do you make? What kind of a house do you live in? What kind of clothes do you wear, ladies? On and on and on. Is that evil in itself? No. But it is if you wish you had what they have. Amen? You know what I have? I don't have a big job, that's for sure. You can look at me and say, well, we know why, but seriously, my friends, my treasures aren't here. I want us to think this morning. I just want us to think. Look around. The three tribes out of the 12 tribes of Israel, Reuben, Dan, part of Manasseh, who chose to stay in the lush meadowland this side of the promised land, to them, never to get the taste of the milk and honey in the promised land across Jordan. If you study the books of Kings and Chronicles, you will discover, and this is interesting. I didn't really know this as a fact myself until I got to study well this message. If you study the books of Kings and Chronicles, you will discover that it was these three tribes whose descendants were the first to adopt the idolatry of their neighbors and the first to be swept into captivity by the kingdom of Babylon, Persia. Stayed on the wrong side, didn't they? Stayed on the wrong side. These three tribes are representative of those who accept the compromise offered the world by the world today. It's just so good. I mean, you know, they attend the meetings, they conduct the required services, they do all sorts of good things, if only they can also live in the rich, lush meadow offered this side of Jordan. They cooperate when it's comfortable. They give sometimes generously. As long as with diplomacy, they can keep one foot in this poor, lost world. The way I understand it, Jesus lays it out to us this way. If you want to follow me, you got to give 100%. Wow. That's pretty tough, isn't it? If you want to follow me, you better give 100%. Why does he say that? All through the New Testament. Well, the sad truth is, in the end, the idolatry of the world and their decision to stay in it makes them captives of it, just like the three tribes were. You see, the stormy weather this side of Jordan is necessary for you and I to go through as we press on with wishful eyes toward Canaan, happy land. It cost Jesus something to come and save us. Amen? And it's going to cost us something in this poor, lost world to follow him. And he said this: don't be surprised if the world hates you, it hated me first. Those are the words of Jesus. Wow, what a depressing message to hear. I came as a guest to the church, the first thing I heard was, we're in deep water. Well, it depends on which side of Jordan you choose. I'll tell you, God wants you to choose the other side. And you say, well, I don't understand that. I thought that was my decision. It's your decision, but God's invitation. You can reject God's invitation by saying, I'd rather stay here. God knows what you're going to do. But sometimes you don't even know what you're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
One thing about this side of Jordan, one thing about this old world that's lost, undone, though the meadows for the cattle this side of Jordan seems sufficient to the three tribes and their herds, yonder over Jordan in God's promised land was a far greater and grander alternative of promise waiting. Listen to what God offers all who believe his word. Listen. Don't ever forget it. John writes about it. You find the book. It's in here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And the former things have passed away. That sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write that these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my child. Listen now to the rest of hymn 490. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Although those wide extended plains shines one eternal day, there God the Son forever reigns, scatters not away. No chilling winds, no poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death have felt and feared no more. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom rest? I'm bound to the promised land. I'm bound to the promised land. Oh, who will come? Go with me. I'm bound for the promised land. That's a great old song, isn't it? That's where I'm bound, my friends. Look around you and see this poor lost world struggling on this side of our promised land with its raging storms and sin and destruction. Do not choose the meadow of compromise with this world, but come with those of us who trust in our Savior's promises to that place where sickness and sorrow, where pain and death no longer exist. God's promised land, truly over there, on the other side of joy. Yes, I think perhaps that is as good a title of the morning message, on the other side of Jordan. What do you think? How about, my friends, answering the question today? Where are your possessions lying this morning?